Toxic, hostile, abusive, fear, intimidation, bullying, vindictive. And that's just before the groping started. Hi, I'm Scott Ott with Bill Whittle and Stephen Green. This episode of Right Angle brought to you by the members at BillWhittle.com. Gentlemen, those are words that came out in a press conference to release a 165-page report, the result of 179 interviews and some 74,000 pieces of evidence, including text messages, emails, and pictures about Governor Andrew Cuomo, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo's activities in his office with members of his staff and others. 11 accusers who allege everything from physical groping under the blouse, for example, to sexual comments and questions that would be inappropriate in any workplace. New York Attorney General Letitia James said that there had been violations, well-substantiated violations of federal and state law. And as a result of that, the leading law enforcement officer of the state after the governor announced that she would do nothing. The report was her work, and her work is now finished. Stephen Green, there are so many different aspects of this story that we could explore, but my interest here isn't primarily in the governor's conduct. It is as usual for me, I am tied up in the whole process of governance question, and this report was ordered by the governor himself. The attorney general completes the report, and the implication of her announcement was, my work here is done. I did what the governor asked me to do. I'm obligated to go no further, and I will go no further. If the Albany Police Department wants to bring criminal charges, that's fine. If any of these 11 women want to sue in a civil lawsuit in court, they may do so, but the top law enforcement officer in the state is going to do nothing. Steve, how can you in government say that you want justice for all the people, broadly announce that the leading executive of the state is in violation of state and federal law, do nothing, and still expect the people to think that justice can be had from government?
Well, there was no expectation. Clearly, my conclusion is that there was no expectation that justice would be done. Two things trouble me most out of the many things that trouble me about this. The first is this idea that the attorney general's job stops where the governor tells her it does. This idea of, clearly there were laws broken, crimes committed, but the governor didn't tell me to prosecute the governor, so I'm done here.
Yeah.
This wasn't a whitewash, Scott. She produced what looks, at least at first blush, like a report that is both damning and correct. It's not a whitewash. So how do you say that the governor did these things and, he didn't authorize me to do anything about it, so I'm just going to sit back. But what bothers me the most is, what if you're one of these women who did come forward, who talked to the attorney general with the expectation or at least the hope that they would pursue justice because, I don't know, that's her damn job. That's what she's elected to do, is to pursue justice in the name of the people of New York State. So you're one of these women who sat down and was deposed for some of your most awful memories for who knows how many hours, hoping that justice would be done. You went to Albany thinking, I'm going to work for this great man who's going to do these great things, and instead he harasses you and gropes you and abuses you. The attorney general, the person who's supposed to pursue justice in your name, lets the matter drop after getting your testimony and swearing she believes your testimony. And then you're supposed to believe that some local authority in the city of Albany is going to have the stones and the wherewithal to do the job against Governor Cuomo that the attorney general was too cowardly to do. No, that's not going to happen at the local level. And these women were betrayed not once but twice, first by Cuomo, second by the attorney general. they're not going to get any sort of criminal justice done in their name. They're going to have to go civil. And they're going to have to go through this again, not with the state of New York at their back, but with their own attorney instead. There is no justice here. At the very most, Cuomo might, after years, have to pay some kind of fine after being dragged through the civil courts. But actual justice? No. No, the attorney general. What a coward.
Bill Whittle, there was a commentator on CNN who suggested that Letitia James, the New York attorney general, has gubernatorial aspirations of her own. And this commentator didn't directly tie those in, but that was the first moment when I thought, oh, maybe now I can understand why the attorney general didn't prefer charges against the governor, because it would look like she's doing something political and, you know, she wants to rise above that. She indicated when asked directly whether the governor should resign, she said that there are three places that question could be decided. One is by the governor himself. Two is by the state legislature. And of course, that wouldn't be resignation. That would be impeachment. And three is with the public. But she seemed to skip over completely the idea that justice might be done by, you know, a department that concerns itself with justice. At the end of the report, the last thing, I believe it was Special Investigator June Kim, who was one of the two, along with Ann Clark, who conducted this investigation. At the end of his little statement, he said, these brave women, meaning the 11 accusers of Governor Cuomo, these brave women stepped forward to speak truth to power. While the governor may be powerful, the truth is even more so. Bill, what does that tangibly mean in this case?
Well, first of all, I think this idea that there's no more government recourse is nuts. Certainly, the City of Buffalo Department of Parking Enforcement can come after the governor and any other state agencies. That door has been left wide open, so we still have that card left to play. This is, by weird, strange, cosmic ray coincidence, the exact topic that I talked about just before we recorded these right angles. My Moving Back to America that I shot today is just simply called Justice. And basically what I say in that is, on the federal level, I don't want to rehash the whole thing, but if you basically want to take freedom away from people, it's a binary process. You need to do two things. First of all, you need to eliminate the press as a factor in this. The idea, the founders, when they wrote the U.S. Constitution, did it perfectly. There were things that are simply beyond their imagination. And one of the things beyond their imagination would be that the news reporting ability could be completely monopolized by one side. That was inconceivable to them. There were always this newspaper, you had a Democratic newspaper, you had a Republican newspaper, you had a Whig newspaper, all of us. The idea that the entire news media could be so monolithic that this would not be questioned by the news was something they never foresaw. And that's one part of this two-part binary epoxy. But the main point that I make on that thing, and the main point here, Scott, is reason why you chose this story. If you want to take over the government of a free people, either on a federal or state level, you don't have to take over the entire government. You don't even really need to take over an entire branch of government. You have to get one person. If you're a corrupt politician, there's one person you have to get, and that is the attorney general. Because the president, in the federal case, appoints the attorney general. If the president appoints an attorney general who declines to press charges when the evidence of crime is not only clear, it's just blazing, then all of the laws that we have in place no longer mean anything. It's like saying we have a Navy with 11 carrier strike groups and each one of them's got 45 attack aircraft, and that's all true. But if you don't have sailors and airmen on those vehicles, it's just so much steel. If the attorney general is corrupt, then any law can be broken with impunity. And again, not to rehash what I said earlier, but if you have the attorney general in your pocket, you can commit crimes and you don't even need to come up with plausible deniability, because you don't even have to clear that hurdle, because charges are not going to be brought in the first place. This is exactly precisely what we saw that you mentioned with this attorney general from New York. Precisely exactly what we saw with James Comey and Hillary Clinton emails, where the person in charge of the law enforcement, he was not the attorney general, but he was the fig leaf. basically laid out all of these felony charges and then simply said, we've decided we're not going to prosecute. We've decided not to recommend we will prosecute the case in Comey's case. That gave the attorney general the fig leaf to not prosecute Hillary Clinton, and that gave her the ability to continue cheating. And here we go. I just think, Scott, we're at the point now where things have gotten so bad that they just have to get visibly worse. And I don't even think Democrats will be able to ignore this uncomfortable feeling that we say we believe women, but we love Andrew Cuomo because he's a liberal. And how do we square these things? And some of these allegations are pretty severe. And we say we're in favor of the rule of law, but we're not going to take charges against him. We know we would if it had been a Republican. We'd know if it had been Donald Trump, we would have put him in prison. If it had been an executive, he'd be in jail. And this is what I mean by things sometimes going to have to get worse before they get better. You know, you want a lawless society? Here it is, right? This is what a lawless society looks like. And when people no longer believe in the law as the law, then you're setting yourself up for real revolution. It's one thing to have an exception, but when dirtbags like Cuomo can get away with this, and then you find things like dirtbags like Jeffrey Epstein just managed to hang himself during the 13-minute period when the cameras happened to be out, and so on and so on and so on. People no longer believe that law exists for people in power. And when I say people in power, I mean Democrats in power. And there's a lot of Democrats who are riding this thinking, hey, we've got this tremendous advantage, but this is not a road you want to go down, and you've gone down it. And I don't think you want to live in a lawless society, but that's certainly what you're building, and you are working overtime.
Now, this is a fast-breaking story. The information based that this conversation is based on has happened within the last couple of hours of us recording this episode. Bill Whittle will also be hosting an episode of Right Angle this week, specifically dealing with the governor's response speech to these accusations contained in this 165-page report. So all kinds of things can happen between now and then. But on a broad basis, I am still scratching my head trying to figure out how the New York Attorney General can say that we have an obligation, we have a duty to protect these women. And then you hear the chorus in the media on CNN and MSNBC picking up the refrain when the host was trying to talk about what should happen to Andrew Cuomo. The guests were saying the important thing here is to focus on the brave, courageous women. And women must be believed. The attorney general said, I believe these women. She said, I believe that law was broken here. My job here is done. And it occurs to me that the attorney general's job is not to produce reports and espouse beliefs, but to actually enforce the law. And she has abdicated that responsibility, whether that's out of political motivations and some high-minded ideal where she thinks she would be viewed as politically ambitious if she preferred charges against the governor. In any case, she has an obligation to move ahead with this to the natural consequences of the report. If this envelope with this report in it showed up on her doorstep and she read this credible information from reliable witnesses with documentation to back it up, contemporaneous dialogues that supported the accusations of the accusers, even if she didn't know who wrote the report, she would follow up and investigate this and bring charges, especially if the accused were not the governor, the head of her party in her state. This is despicable. And one final thing I want to say on this. There have been many laws passed in recent years designed to protect especially women, but not just women, people who are victims of sexual harassment in the workplace and sexual abuse in the workplace. And all I'll say is this, for those of you who valiantly fought to get these laws passed, for those of you who have been victimized in the workplace by bosses groping and grabbing you and sexually harassing you and using inappropriate innuendo in professional situations, those laws that you fought for and prayed for and badgered your legislature to pass have now been in effect for some time. And if this case is not prosecuted under those laws, those statutes do not exist. For Bill Whittle and Stephen Green, I'm Scott Ott. Thanks to the members at BillWhittle.com for making Right Angle possible.